Well, please do take your seats. We're going to have scripture read to us. We have two passages from Acts. The first is going to be read by Sian, the second by Sue. And after we've had these readings, Warren is going to speak to us from these passages.
Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. Theophilus, I wrote to you about what Jesus did and taught from the very first until he was taken up to heaven. But before he was taken up, he gave orders to the apostles he had chosen with the help of the Holy Spirit. For 40 days after Jesus had suffered and died, he proved in many ways that he had been raised from the dead. He appeared to his apostles and spoke to them about God's kingdom. While he was still with them, he said, "Don't leave Jerusalem yet. Wait here for the Father to give you the Holy Spirit, just as I promised he would do. John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." While the apostles were still with Jesus, they asked him, "Lord, are you now going to give Israel its own king again?" Jesus said to them, "You don't need to know the time of those events that only the Father controls, but the Holy Spirit will come upon you and give you power. Then you will tell everyone about me in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and everywhere in the world." After Jesus said this, and while they were watching, he was taken up into a cloud. They could not see him. But as he went up, they kept looking up into the sky. Suddenly, two men dressed in white clothes were standing beside them. They said, "Why are you men from Galilee standing here and looking up at the sky? Jesus has been taken to heaven, but he will come back in the same way that you have seen him go."
The second reading is taken from Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 40. "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home, sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet, the Spirit told Philip, 'Go to that chariot and stay near it.' Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. 'Do you understand what you're reading?' Philip asked. 'How can I?' he said, 'unless someone explains it to me.' So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea." This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning, everyone. Let's pray before we begin. Father, we thank you that you are our God, that you speak to us. Father, we do pray this morning that you would open our ears and our hearts so that we might hear all that you have to say. And we pray that we would take these truths, Lord, that you're speaking about, and help us apply it to our own lives so that we begin to live a rich and beautiful life following after your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we all have world views, a particular way of thinking about the world so that we know how to navigate this life that we're living. A particular framework for understanding how things in this world work so that we know how to live in it. It makes sense, right? And a lot of our worldview is shaped by our cultural context, the world that we're living in. And some of us won't know any different. It's very hard for us to think outside the box when you've been inside the box your whole life, right? Very hard to know what's outside of it when you've been inside of it all your life. Well, we all have a particular cultural worldview, and we're all shaped by it. One of the most obvious ways that we've been shaped, or one of the most obvious things we've seen in the last few months, is just how much our worldview is shaped by an understanding of science having authority. So we've had all sorts of ministers from all sorts of places all over the world standing up and giving commands and orders and suggestions, all based on science, this abstract idea of science. Science says, and so this is the way we're meant to live. And this is the kind of cultural context we're living in at the moment. Science is the great authority, even if we don't know what the science is actually saying, even if the science is different in some contexts. We need to take a bigger step, a bigger perspective on things to see what truths we are to hold on to firmly as Christians, firmly. We need to take a step back and have a bigger perspective on the world and how it works to be able to understand how to live faithfully. Just a small little funny illustration. My brother sent me a text message this last week, and on the picture was this man or woman who had taken a level. They had taken one of these and they'd just laid it down on a patch of grass, probably their back garden, and they're looking at it and it was pretty level, and then they interpreted it and they said, you know, all my life I've thought that the earth was round, and now we see that it's flat. That's what happens when you have a particular cultural context that's shaping everything you say and do. You have a very narrow way of looking at things, and you need to take a bigger step out. You need to, if you like, you know, be on a spaceship looking down or looking at photos of the earth from above to see how it's round. But in your own cultural context, it's very hard to step out of that. It's when we take big truths of the Bible and apply it to our lives, that's when we begin to see the beauty of God's Word. We take these big picture truths and apply it to our lives, we end up seeing the beautifulness of God's Word. A few months ago, Lisa and I, we've been watching MasterChef. And one of the dishes we watched being cooked was a duck. And so I wrote it all down and stuff and then thought about it and how to do it. And I spent all day, I chopped up this duck and you'd probably think I massacred it. It looked terrible probably, you know, the breasts all out of shape and stuff. Threw in all the vegetables, put it in the stew, put it in a pressure cooker and spent hours and then waited more hours, poured some wine in. At the end of the day, I wasn't too sure how this meal was going to be how it was going to turn out. But in the end, I took this big sauce that just looked like a watery mess, filled with the carcass of a duck, and then put it in a pot, reduced it down, and reduced it so much so that in the end, all I was left with was this little bit of syrup that was so thick and gloopy, but it was unbelievably tasty. It was incredible. I'd never done it before. I thought, wow, this is what I've been missing out on all my life. A few weeks later, I said to my mom, hey, don't worry, Lisa and I, we'll come around and we'll cook your dinner, just something, you know, that we've tried before. So I bought a duck and I thought, wow, when they taste this, they're going to just be blown out of their socks. So I didn't bring it up or, you know, like tell them this is going to be a most amazing meal. I just thought this is going to be casual, just like a little, you know. Spent all day making this duck, cutting it up again, putting in the pot, reducing it down. except I was in a bit of a rush. So I didn't reduce it down all the way properly. And what ended up, well, I put it all on the plate, took it out to everyone, and everyone started eating it. And it just wasn't what I thought it was going to be. And everyone was saying, oh, this is such a nice meal, Warren. You know, the kind of thing you get when, well, you've made so much effort. You spent all day doing this. I don't know why you did all day doing this, but it's very nice, you know, like that. Well, you know, thank you. I can't believe all I needed to do was wait another half an hour or so, just spending time, reducing it down, getting it perfect, and it would have been a perfect meal. Well, that's what we need to do with God's Word. We need to take these big picture truths, step out of our bubble, get these big picture truths that are foundations for our understanding on how to live out our lives, think about them, reduce them down, and then bring them into our lives and live them out. It's then, when we take these big truths of the Bible and we reduce them down to this beautiful, syrupy taste, that's when God's Word becomes beautiful for us, because it then matters, it then becomes applied to our lives, and we see the beauty of everything that God has to say. So today all I'm doing is looking at the book of Acts. And Acts gives us loads of truth, but I'm going to spend time looking at three big truths and try to get them reduced down so that we can see how beautiful God's Word is. Well, the first truth in Acts that I'm going to pick up on is the fact that God has a plan. God has a plan. God has a plan to restore all things. It's a foundational truth for us to believe. God has a plan to restore all things. When the disciples are there in Acts chapter 1, they're with Jesus and they say to him, Jesus, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus says to them, it's not for you to know the times and seasons that the Father has set by his own authority. And he's saying, yes, there is. There is a plan here. The kingdom is going to be restored. You just don't know when. But the Father has set the times and seasons and dates by his own authority. There is a plan. And the world will be restored to the way that God wants it to be. He is going to restore his kingdom. But God has a plan, and it is working itself out. In that same chapter, as Jesus is speaking to the disciples, well, he ascends into heaven, and then the disciples decide they need to replace Judas. Judas betrayed Jesus. He gave him over to the authorities, and Jesus was nailed to the cross. Unexpected? Well, no, we're told that the disciples see this as something that God had originally in his plan. It was his plan that his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, would die for our sins. It all happened according to God's plan. Even the most unexpected things in your life, in our lives, happen according to God's plan. God has a plan, and it will be fulfilled. Jesus tells the disciples in chapter 1 that they are going to be his witnesses from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and then to the ends of the earth. And as we read the book of Acts, we see that plan unfolding. We see the disciples starting off in Jerusalem, managing to find themselves in Judea, Samaria, and then where do we end? Oh, in the ends of the earth, with Paul in Rome declaring the gospel. God had a plan from creation. He formed the nation of Israel. He gave all peoples their lands. He's blessed us all, and his plan is that we would all seek him out and find him and discover him. And the way that is working itself out is through the gospel, as we take the gospel to the ends of the earth, telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. God's big plan is that everyone come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. That's his big plan. It's a big plan that will happen. God has a plan for the universe, the world. He has a plan for Israel. Big plans, but that plan works itself out in our own lives. God has a big plan, but he also has a plan for each one of us sat here today. That is the big truth that we need to reduce. God has a plan for the world, but he knows each and every one of us here today, and he has a plan for us. We need to think really hard about that. God has a plan for us. That is just incredible. The God who created everything is the same God who created you and I. He's the same God who watches over our steps and guards us along the way. He has a plan for each one of us. That is just incredible. So many people in your life might forget about you. God has a plan. Second big truth is that Jesus is Lord. As we open up the book of Acts, we discover Jesus ascends into heaven. It's the same at the end of Luke's gospel. Jesus ascends into heaven. And what is Luke trying to tell us? Well, the church faces this crisis, right? Jesus Christ has ascended into heaven. He's gone. He's left the disciples. Well, where is he now and what is he doing? Well, that is what the book of Acts is all about. Has Jesus left the disciples and the church and everybody else all to themselves? Is he now just stranded in heaven and he's left the church to figure out for themselves? Well, no, because as we read the book of Acts, we discover that Jesus is with the church all the way through it. He begins the book of Acts by saying, Theophilus, in my former book I began to write about all that Jesus began to do and to teach. The implication being that in the book of Acts, we're learning about all that Jesus continues to do and to teach. Jesus Christ ascends into heaven, but he continues to act. He continues to do and to teach the church. As we read this, as we read Acts, we come across passages where we still see Jesus active in the world, even though he has ascended into heaven. In Acts chapter 1, he chooses the disciple to replace Judas. In Acts chapter 2, he pours out the Holy Spirit. He heals a lame man in chapter 3. He is seen by Stephen as Stephen is being stoned to death. Jesus is present and active in the world after he's ascended into heaven. And get that, he's there as Stephen is being stoned. You know, as we look out into the world, we see all sorts of chaotic things. We see all sorts of crazy business. Where people just go mad, riots and murders and killings and all sorts of mess. You just have to look at the news for a minute to get a glimpse of the highlights, and you'll see a lot of it is just chaos and mess and disorder. But even in that midst of chaos and disorder, the truth is Christ is there. He is with us. He was there with Stephen as Stephen was being stoned, and Stephen drew great comfort from that. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he's being stoned, the most vicious of deaths, we're told he falls asleep. He falls asleep. Christ is with us even now. He is present, even though he has ascended into heaven. Even though we can't see him, he is with us now. That is a big theological truth. Christ was with the disciples in Acts chapter 2 after his ascension. And the big truth reduced for us now, he's with us now. He's with you today. He's with us now as we're hearing his word. He'll be with us now as we leave church and as we try to apply his word. Christ is in the world with us. That is something to rejoice over. Third and final truth, the Holy Spirit empowers us. God is going to restore his kingdom. Jesus is with us. And he's given us his Holy Spirit to empower us. Jesus tells the disciples to wait in Jerusalem until he sends his Holy Spirit. Well, in Acts chapter 2, we discover that the Holy Spirit comes down and the apostles receive the Holy Spirit. And what's the first thing we're told that they do as they receive the Holy Spirit? They preach God's word. They preach. And people begin to hear the gospel and respond. And God begins to bring people into his kingdom as the message of the gospel is heard. The Holy Spirit doesn't only come in Acts chapter 2. He comes much later on as well. As other people from other cultures from around the world receive the Holy Spirit. We have these mini little Pentecosts of others receiving the Holy Spirit. And what are they going to be empowered to do? They're going to be empowered to preach God's word. God has a plan. Jesus Christ is with us and he's given us his Holy Spirit to empower us to preach his word. And his kingdom will come. God is going to build his kingdom. That big truth boiled down, the Holy Spirit is with us right now. He is empowering us right now, today. He empowers us as we try to share the gospel with those we know and love. How does this all play out with our second reading, Acts, from Acts chapter 8, with the Ethiopian eunuch? Well, there you have, we have an Ethiopian eunuch, and we're told that he goes up to Jerusalem to worship the Lord. Now, if you were a Jew reading this passage, you would have said, oh, well, he went up to Jerusalem to worship the Lord, but he obviously wasn't allowed to because he's a eunuch. He wouldn't have been allowed in. He would have been excluded. But as we're reading it, it changes. We see God has a concern for this man, this one individual man. So what happens? The Holy Spirit comes along and asks Philip to go to a particular place. Philip goes there. He sees a carriage and a chariot. The Holy Spirit says, go alongside the chariot. Philip goes alongside the chariot and he hears the Ethiopian eunuch reading a particular passage, Isaiah 53. He says, hey, do you know what you're reading? He says, how can I know what I'm reading unless someone interprets it for me? So Philip gets up and he explains the passage and he shows him, he speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ. An Ethiopian eunuch receives Christ. Incredible. But the big picture here is that God orchestrated everything to do with that. It was the Holy Spirit who told Philip to go to a particular place to meet a particular person. It was the Holy Spirit who had this Ethiopian eunuch reading Isaiah 53. And guess what? We're told twice he is in a desert. He's in a desert where you least expect to find water. And what happens? As he comes to faith, there's some water. And he says, here's some water. Why can't I be baptized right now? A man who's previously not allowed to worship the Lord is now being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's God who orchestrated that whole event. The God who created everything, the whole world, orchestrated an event to bring one man to faith. To bring one man who wasn't allowed to worship previously to faith. It's that same God, our same God, who is orchestrating our lives, orchestrating the lives of the lost right now, and enabling us to have possibilities to share the gospel with them. Perhaps you don't really come along to these services very often at all. The question you have is, who brought you along today? It was no mistake. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's brought you into a position today to receive the gospel. Isn't that incredible? God orchestrates all events. What was it that brought you here today? Well, you might have had all sorts of reasons for coming today. But the big reason is that the Lord Jesus Christ orchestrated it so that you would be here to hear the gospel and have an opportunity to respond to everything that the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you. God is incredible. He creates the whole world. He created the universe. And yet, he has a concern for each one of us as individuals. He has a plan for each one of us. He is with us right now. And by his Holy Spirit, we can come to faith, trust in him, and walk by faith. That's the kind of God that we have. A God that would have a concern for each one of us when he has the whole world to think about. Let me pray. Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for sending your Son into the world, Lord, to die for our sins, and that through him we can be forgiven. Father, we thank you for your great plan. And even though, Lord, you've got this massive plan to restore the whole world to yourself, and yet you care for us as individuals. You love us, and you give us all opportunities to respond to your gospel. Father, we pray that you would bless us today with your Holy Spirit. Help us to respond to the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to receive your Holy Spirit. Help us to trust in your word and to follow after you. Lord, you are so good and gracious and generous. And we pray that you might help us to become your servants. Amen.